Scripture reading for this evening comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and verses 1 to 30. John 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel ground of that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied by his journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast said well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband, and in that sayest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, which when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and said unto the men, Come, see a man, which told me all things that I have done, that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. Thus far the scripture reading.
Congregation, the text for this evening's our sermon is from John 4, especially verse 4. It's the whole chapter, the whole piece, but let me only read verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. so far. Christ's dealings with a Samaritan woman. Christ's dealings with a Samaritan woman. Four thoughts. His love from eternity already. It's a reason why he's going there. His love. Secondly, his kindness. The way he approached her, so kind and soft about speaking about living water. Have you tasted it? Do you want it? Do you desire it? I have it. Secondly, his honesty. Where is thy husband? Needs to be on the table. Also confrontational. And in the fourth place, his child. Because she believes in him. She talks about him. Christ's dealings with a Samaritan woman. His love, his kindness, his honesty, his child. And of course, congregation, you could preach many times on this chapter. Not kind of an overview. Here and there pieces. Not all in very details. But the heart of it. So the Lord Jesus' congregation is traveling. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, going north. And he must needs go through Samaria. Samaria, what's Samaria? What's a Samaritan woman? Who are these Samaritans? Do you know? You need to know. You know, the Assyrians had a different policy than the Babylonians. The Assyrians, they conquered Samaria in the year 722 before Christ. And they did something that the Babylonians never did. Then they conquered Jerusalem. They did not only take people to Assyria, they also sent Gentile tribes to Israel. So they wanted the people to mix, so that their tribes would not be in existence, the identity of the people be lost. They would not feel Jewish anymore, they would kind of be in a mix of Jewish and Gentiles. In Assyria, the Jewish people were not Jewish anymore. They just mixed with everyone. And also quite a few people traveling to being deported to the north of Israel. So the north of Israel were many Samaritans. They were the offspring of those people. Their father Jewish, their mother Jewish, their father Gentile, their mother Gentile. Just a mix. And they were still felt kind of a little bit Jewish. They were still influenced. They had a temple. They had pieces of the Bible, but they couldn't go to Jerusalem, and the real proper Jews shunned them. Had no use for them, even want to talk to them. They were not purebred Jewish people. And so the Lord Jesus going through Samaria, really? And it says, he left Judea, departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. What does that mean? Well, the Lord Jesus had something in mind. Not only something, but someone. And he had to go there. Not so that he was compelled and forced, not all. But such a desire. He had to go there and rescue a soul for that long and never-ending eternity to the glory of God, to the welfare of that creature. He needed to go there because there was someone given to him already. He knew already. It was not random that he was going there to rescue someone that he did not know yet who it was. No, he knew. Someone gave it to him by the Father. He needed to go through Samaria, burning with love for that person. whatever the cost will be, whatever effort, hardship, time it would take, so committed to do his work, given him by the Father. He was about to create something, to speak to someone, to make something new. What a wonder. And of course, we all know what it was about. It was about that Samaritan woman, right? Remember her? She was not only Samaritan, she was married 5 times. And her first marriage, I don't know how long it took, but she didn't like it. She left him. Not enough empathy and not enough friendship. It didn't work. There was no love. Maybe she had some good reasons as well. No, there are no good reasons for that unless he committed adultery. But you know, it doesn't work. And she thought, you know, I have to make better choices. And she took in a second husband. And she thought, this is going to work because I want to be happy. I have a right to be happy. Along that line, she must have been thinking like people do today. I have a right to be happy. It doesn't work. I'm going not to live my whole life with that man. Come on. Can't do that. But she took a second one, and it also didn't work out for whatever reason. And she took a third one because I want to be happy. She was very, very persistent and did not let go. She was quite a woman, wasn't she? And she had a fourth one and a fifth one. And finally she thought, you know, I'm not going to marry anymore. I need this live together, not going through all the hassle. Very stubborn, opinionated, selfish woman. It's about me. It's about my happiness. It's about the rights I have. And she was strong as well. She was a serial sinner, like a serial killer. She was a serial adulterer. One after the other. What a woman. The Lord Jesus talking to her, really? And needs to go through Samaria for her? To draw her out of that darkness, to bring her unto light? It's quite something. So she was, this woman was, in her sin. Not one sin was forgiven yet. She was a child of wrath. Was a distance between God and her. And yet, I can't explain it. Loved in God's decree from eternity was something about this woman. And the Lord Jesus, having a special focal point on her and saying, you know, I have to go to Samaria for her. Although very warped, strange, adulterous, addicted, unfaithful, stubborn female who had respect for her, not many people, maybe that's why she was at that well to get water at 12 o'clock at noon. Not many people there. Is that the reason? Might be. Christ must go through Samaria. How encouraging. I was preparing this sermon and I thought, how would I translate that to today? You know, also today, do I say it or don't I say it? Well, today, I'm afraid that today there are people in our congregations, maybe also here, I don't know you too well, who had a feeling kind of, I'm going to church yet, but it's not for me. If you would only know how often I look at things I should not look at. And I stop it and I feel vile and dirty, and I repent, and a week later, I do it again. And a month later, I do it again. And a year later, I do it again. people falling in sin and being addicted to such sin. Sitting in church kind of, come on, that's not for me. I'm sitting in church, but I do not belong here. I don't belong in this church. Yes, you do. This is a church for such people like you. Yes, people like you. They belong in this church. Because nobody is any better than you are. Maybe some people behave differently and behave better and behave more civil and are more faithful outwardly, but they all have the same heart. And you belong to this church. And the Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria. You know, I'm afraid that some people are leaving church. Don't go to any church anymore. Maybe not here. But in our denomination, just for the reason of feeling so vile that I rather don't think about God anymore. I don't want to be confronted with it. I can't live in those two worlds, and there's too much tension. And there's people just go. And they still believe in the Bible in a way, and still believe in the church and the truth, but their worlds don't match. It's too much work to keep it together. The Lord Jesus needs go through Samaria. He was wearied, he was tired, he was thirsty, had a human nature, and he goes there. They all had the thought of that beautiful text in John 10. John 10 is the chapter about the good shepherd, right? This text. And all the sheep I have. Not I will have, I have. And all the sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and them I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. It always strikes me, and other sheep I have. So the Lord Jesus had this woman already. She was chosen before this already. She, in a sense, she was a sheep. In a sense, she was not. In God's decree and decision in mind, she was. And God was going to execute that decree. All that must of the Lord Jesus. You also read about that he must go to Jerusalem. He knows he has to, he wants to. There's that necessity, that willingness. From that time forward began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests. He must go. So it's a necessity, a willingness, a drive. So, let me underline this. Let this encourage you to yet keep seeking. Don't give up the fight against sin and bosom sins and addictions. Because the Lord continues with his work and all things are passed with him. Also with Mary Magdalene, possessed with seven devils. And this chapter is in the Bible to just let you know that nobody is too sick and too vile and too ungodly to be saved. Nobody. The wonder of God's mercy, God's love, and that love is so one-sided, that love is so powerful, love is so real, that the Lord Jesus wanted to do anything. He wanted to sacrifice for this woman. He wanted to give his life for her. He wanted to be crucified for her. He wanted to die for his people to actually and efficiently, efficaciously, our Father said, save her and save them. God can do that and will do that and continues with that work. And that's quite encouraging. Nothing is impossible with God. I remember those times that text was sweet to my palate. All things pass with God. It's only sweet if it's not partial from your side. If you don't see your way out anymore. If you can't forgive yourself. If you can't get yourself out of that miry clay. If you can't present yourself whole unto God. If you're ready to give up. You say, I can't. I fail. Especially in those circumstances. It becomes so beautiful to hear that God can do anything. Is there anything too wonderful for Him? So, whoever you are, you have the feeling kind of, well, let me go to church one more time. I don't want to, but one more time. I wish I could give this along with you. You can be saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not give up, please. Hold on. All things are possible. And put your finger in the Bible. Say, Lord, she had 5 men. She was married 5 times. She was a serial adulterer. She was saved. Can I be saved then? If that's possible, then I have hope. Brings to the second thought. His kindness. Now he cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Joseph's well was there. Jesus, for being wearied with the journey, sat thus on the well. He was tired. He had a real body, right? He was not just half divine, half human, or a human body and a divine soul or something. No. No divine soul. He was human. Human body, human soul. And a divine nature as well. But just a little detail. He was wearied. He also knows how that feels. We're thirsty and wearied and tired of life. And of walking. And just those little things. He knows well. So he can be a compassionate high priest. He also knows how tired and wearied and difficult you feel. And it was about the 6th hour, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus is going to arrest her, to draw her. How does that begin? How does he do that? How harsh? How confrontational? How blunt. Wait a moment. God always is honest with people. As we hope to see in our third thought. But not in such a way that we chase people away. Not in such a way that people flee and say, I can't face this God. I'm not going to take refuge with God. I don't desire this God. I'm so afraid of this God that I... Go. Know the Lord very wisely. As a great counselor comes close and close the net around her in such a kind way. We learn from that. In how to approach strangers. In how to approach people in the mud of sin with kindness. There cometh a woman, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. He's asking her a favor. Asking a favor of someone from Samaria, a woman from Samaria, close to that water well. Give me to drink. To just break the ice. To just open the conversation. To just prepare her for something else. To let her feel something of the interest and the warmth that he is just a person. And that she is not, that he does not ignore her. To let her know that she exists. That he sees her. Give me to drink. And she shouted her, gone away.
to the city to buy meat, to buy food, and then say the woman of Samaria unto him, is he surprised? Never happened. How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? She did not know yet that the Lord Jesus was aware of our sins. But she was already surprised that he, being a Jew, to talk to someone from Samaria. That gave her the willingness to continue the conversation. Because she did not feel condemned. You know, when we talk to people in our own congregation, people, the same congregation, you talk to someone, and if someone has the feeling kind of, this stinks, I don't know if I want to talk to you about those things. You are, I'm holier than you are. If you have that feeling, then there's a barrier, right? Feeling kind of. The conversation stops. So, Lord Jesus takes those barriers away. You should do that with your children, with your beloved ones, with your fellow members, with people on the street, people in sin. Break those barriers down and just talk to them. In public transportation, on the airplane, or whatever it is, just let them feel that you want to talk. Because if the Lord ever wants to let people know something, is this. That we have sinned, yes, we'll talk about that, against a good doing God. A good doing God. Not only against the holy God, but only against the righteous God, a God who must punish sin. That's all right, that's all true. But also a good doing God. You know, something pops up in my mind. I did something horrible to my father. I was mad. I stand with my heel as hard as I could on his foot. I'm not proud of that. He looked at me. The tears in his eyes. Boy. He did not get mad. He was so sad about what I did. I rather had a spanking. He didn't spank me. He had me feel so disappointed and sad about what I did to him. He had tried to be a good father, and he is, and he was. And so the Lord also works the same way. To let you feel that he is good. That he has given so many blessings. That he does not deserve this. And so the Lord Jesus also works in that direction. So he shows her his goodness, his willingness to help. How is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans, no dealings whatsoever. Like the disciples asking the Samaritans to lodge them, and the people of Samaria saying no, and they asking for fire to come down from heaven, and the Lord Jesus saying, thou dost not know from what spirit thou art. It was not good at all. That relation between the Jewish people and the Samaritans was bad. And the Lord Jesus broke that down, the barrier. And Jesus said to her in verse 10, we are still in the second point about kindness. If thou knewest, if you would know, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So he raises the subject of water and living water, and there is someone willing to give it to her if she would ask for it, and he is the one who can give it to her.
That's how he started. Now, conversions are all a little different. I said all a little different. But this is often one of those elements in there. The Lord that you feel, your heart, that he is a good-doing God, that is living water, to make you jealous of something. And to hold out something of something that can make you so happy, to draw you in. Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. So let me try to say that to you tonight. Won't be satisfied? Having the feeling kind of, I have everything. I'm the happiest person in the whole entire world. I don't need anything else. I have everything. I'm satisfied. I can't hold more. That's possible. God's children have time again those moments and those times of true happiness. That they are satisfied with God. And in case you didn't know yet, God is so glorified by that. Then people are most satisfied with him. If someone wants to honor a fountain of water, a well of water, if you want to honor that well, drink of it. Drink much of it. And so it is to God's honor when people are satisfied with God and have enough with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ, true happiness. For time, for eternity, for your body, for your soul, for times of blessings and times you have crosses. Just content. That contentment is great gain. Is something we're interested in, young people? That's what the Lord Jesus is talking about with her. Well, that great gain about true happiness, that you have enough and don't have to worry, that you don't have to carry a burden, and that it's well with your soul, that you can even die if you have to. I'm not saying that God, you know, always have that assurance, but you know, it's there time and again that the Lord makes it well and gives his closeness. And that God's people say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I've no wants. I've no concerns at the moment. The Lord is my shepherd. So that's what the Lord is holding out her in his kindness. And the woman saith to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She does not understand it. Art thou great than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever, that does not exclude anyone, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, filling up to everlasting life. It will continue. It's something that lasts, something that you can also share with others. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me that water. I want to be happy. I want to be satisfied. I want to be filled. Give me that water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So, this conversation, she's listening. The Lord is preparing the soil with his kindness. She doesn't get it. Brings you the third thought. his honesty. Congregation, the Lord wanted to go to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is not to help people and give them the feeling that they are doing well. And to help people when they feel lonely or fearful. You know, sometimes people have real concerns in this life and are not doing well, not happy. But the Lord did not come to just make people happy. That's what religion is. Religion in the sense of opium for the people. To soothe the people. To calm the people down. To make people feel good about themselves and the circumstances. That they won't worry too much. That's all religion is about. But the Lord Jesus did not come to only soothe the people and feel them, let them feel fine. That's, I'm so sorry to say, the religion of so many today. It's all about helping people. A sermon is only counseling people. A church is only being nice to each other and help each other out because we're saved anyway. But the Lord Jesus did not just soothe her. She did not get it. And the Lord is in a kind way. In an honest way, going deeper. She said, "Sir, give me this water." Well, he's willing to give that water. "That I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And Jesus said unto her, "Go." He did not yell this. Kindly as well, "Go call thy husband. Why don't you get your husband and come together back to me?" And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." So the Lord Jesus is opening the wound and confronting him with the facts and coming also with his law. The Lord does not shy away from that. Although he comes in a loving way, in a kind way, preparing the way, that bringing down the barriers. But then it comes down to real, English is still my second language, I sometimes hesitate. Real business. Can I say that? Real things on the table. Now let us talk. Mr. Husband. Of course he knew. But she had to know that he knew that Jesus the prophet, that he was convincing her. What a surgeon the Lord Jesus was with a knife, you know, with a scalpel. So carefully. Not going too shallow, not going too deep. Just the exact doses of medication. The Lord Jesus dealt gently but honestly with her. Exposing a raw nerve. Letting her know that nothing is hidden for God, that he knows not only the inner recesses, but everything that happens in secret. That maybe other people don't know, or very few people know, that he knows. So let me say this tonight. Young friends, older ones, the Lord knows. He remembers. It's not forgotten. He wants you to confess it today. Between yourself and God. You don't have to tell people necessarily. It's between God and your soul. Tell the Lord. Your sins of youth. Maybe you're stepping over it. You're dumping sand over it. Say, I'm not going to think about it anymore. It just makes me feel depressed. Come on. Tell the Lord that you're vile, that you are a sinner, that you try to find happiness in a different way, that you have maybe different addictions. What addictions? Well, maybe it's that sense of quenching your thirst in different ways with work. Working hard. Working hard can be wrong if it is something that you try to fill up your soul with to make yourself happy. Maybe it's status, maybe it's honor. The Lord knows. And if you come close to this text, if I may, she went through many husbands, right? From one husband to the other, never satisfied. Some people go from one job to another job. Some people go from one church to the other church. Some people go from one car to the other car. Some people go from never satisfied. Houses, work, that thirst that nothing fills it up, and always looking for something new and exciting and new gadget and whatever it is. If you could afford it. Just having a little bit of thrill in your life. Something new, something to make you happy. Well, let's just ask you. What makes you feel happy? Tell me. What makes you feel happy? Tomorrow morning, when you wake up, what could make you feel happy tomorrow morning? What's the first thing you would say? Well, if I only have, if I only experienced, if I only could. What is it? That's your idol. And the Lord Jesus, He wanted to have us satisfied with the husband, with the Lord. He wanted to seek salvation in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preparing the soil for that, making it, taking the barriers down and confronting it with sin in order to show that there is forgiveness with Him. You should read J.C. Ryle in his commentary on this piece. And he is very open about it. And explaining it. That your conscience need to be pierced in order to seek salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. If your conscience is not pierced, if you don't feel sick, then don't go to the doctor. I offer you tomorrow morning a chemo treatment for 2 weeks. It's for free. Go for it. Go and have a chemo treatment for 2 weeks. Not me. It's free. Not me. I'll go through that. I don't need it. Right. And nobody flee to the Lord Jesus Christ if you are not sick. You don't. I'm not going to the doctor if I don't feel sick. Maybe for a checkup or so, that's it. But otherwise, no. And I, in that sense, do not value the doctor either, because I never was seriously ill. But the Lord, He wants that glory and that honor, and that's why the Lord is opening the case and telling her who she is. And she was kind of evasive, right? Evasive. I have no husband. And that's deep in our characters and constitution to defend ourselves. And to say, you know, but you should know the circumstances. If you would only know, defending yourself, are you good at it?
defending yourself? The Lord knows. So I cannot bring this to the heart, but it's my desire and hope and prayer. The Lord is just arresting some people tonight. And there's some people who have slept under the carpet must come forward with it tonight. Between them and God, they say, Lord, it's surfacing. Be merciful and be a sinner. You're so welcome to do that. Don't hide any longer. Why would you die? You die if you keep sweeping it under the carpet. If you don't deal with it, honestly between you and God. And of course, then also things need to change. It's not only asking for forgiveness, it's also now to set your house in order. And to repent. And to leave sin. And to seek help if you're addicted. And do whatever you can to stop it. And to close all the holes that there are in your life. So the Lord Jesus is dealing with the Samaritan woman. His love to go to Samaria. And his kindness. And his honesty. And in the fourth place, his child. First we sing. Psalter 363. From the depths do I invoke thee, Lord, to me incline thy ear. To my voice be thou attentive, and my supplication hear. 363. Thank you.
congregation, whole conversation follows. And of course, we cannot go into the details, but a few things. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father." The Lord Jesus indicating that it's neither in Samaria, neither in Jerusalem, because the veil of the temple will be rent from the top to the bottom. And the Lord can be served anywhere, by anyone, if it's only in truth and in spirit. She probably did not understand that. Ye worship, you know what? We know what we worship. For salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the two worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, the Lord Jesus go a little further, speaking about where to worship and how to worship, or through prayer is, and telling something about the future. And then you begin to notice the result. The woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things." She knows something about the Messiah. And Jesus saith unto her, what a precious moment. "I that speak unto thee am he." It's me. I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah. I'm the anointed one. That's what Christ means, right? That's what Messiah means. Messiah is Hebrew, Christ is Greek. It means anointed. Anointed to be the priest and the prophet and the king and appointed by God and qualified. She knew that. And he said, "It's me." And then the disciples come, and there seems to be no time. She left her water pot, went away into the city, and tells the men, verse 29, "Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" And she is convinced about it. "He spoke to me with such authority as the prophet. He must be the Christ." And they then went out of the city and came to him. And I read also in verse 39 and 40. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said to the woman, 'Now we believe, but because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" So, summarizing this part, this woman found out that he is the Savior of the world, and she believed in him. And she became a child of him. His child. His love. His kindness. His honesty. Now, his child. He was after her from eternity. And now he has her. Now she is his sheep. She believes in him as the Savior. She found him. Now, how would you feel if you would be hungry? "Mom, I'm so hungry. Have something to eat." And if mom would say, "You're hungry? I'm happy to hear that. That means that you're alive. So let's leave it with that. I don't think any boy or girl will be satisfied with that. So, you know, my mom said, it's good to feel hungry. So I don't have to eat. Because it's a token that I'm alive. You can't eat from your hunger. So you cannot eat with your need either. You say, I'm so needy, I'm so touched in my heart, I'm such need, I need a savior, I have an emptiness in my heart, I need someone to save me. Don't rest until you find him. I that speak unto thee am he. And here in the sermon tonight, I cannot bring it to the heart, that I can preach him. In the sermon tonight, the Lord Jesus presents himself to you. And he says, I am the Savior of the world. Not only of the Jewish people, but of the Gentiles. Not only of church people, also for worldly people. Because the word world in John is almost always, if not always, negative. I pray not for the world, and be not of the world. And the world sometimes refers to the elect, but even then it refers to the elect in the negative sense as sinners. And so the Lord Jesus is the Savior of the world. Now how does that sound? Tell the Pharisees. See Pharisees there? He is the Savior of the world. What's your response? And we are not the world. We're God's people. So if you feel God's people, then you don't need a Savior of the world, right? Maybe there's another group to say. The world. That's me. I feel swept on one heap with the whole entire world. I'm just a Gentile. I'm pagan myself. Deep in my heart. He is the Savior of the world. To save people from their sins. That's what Jesus means, not to save only from your loneliness, from your sins. And whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Let me say this. I know I can bring it to your heart. I know. But I have to say this. Drink of the water of life. That veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And you're shy and bashful. You feel kind of, really? Am I allowed? You're not only allowed. You don't only have permission. You're asked. You're prayed to come. The Lord beseeching you to come without money, without price, to the Savior. He's the Savior of the world. And maybe you say tonight, he found me out. So all God's people experienced it. He found me out. He just discovered. He was honest with me. And don't forget, without this Savior, this life does not suffice. This life does not fill your heart. It cannot be. We were created to be happy, right? Adam and Eve are happy with each other, with nature, and especially with God. Satisfied with God. You're created to be happy. Now we push God out of our life and have surrogate gods. Trying to substitute for God does not work. I tell you, it's not working. You will be, if you not are yet, disappointed. There's only one thing that really can satisfy, the water of life, freely, whosoever
You know, when you come home by yourself tonight, maybe young friends, lay your finger at verse 14 and remind the Lord. Say, Lord, I read something. I read, but whosoever drinketh of the water of life, I shall give him, that I shall give him, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, spring up into everlasting life, to the glory of God's name. Christ's dealings with the Samaritan woman. His love, his kindness, his honesty, his child. Can you say that of you too? His child. That's all. And if you're not, you are missing everything. Seek him before it is too late. Amen. Let's close with thanksgiving. Almighty Lord, may it yet please thee to bless thy word. Such a simple, well-known Bible story, but make it new and fresh and apply with thy spirit to the hearts of many. And that many may come forward, maybe hesitantly, but freely, to the God who knows everything anyway. And nothing is impossible to God. We don't have to leave the church, and we don't have to stay away from the truth anymore, because the Lord knows anyway, and we are welcome in this church even with all the sins we have ever committed. Lord, we beseech thee, give this church thy help, thy life, give thy spirit. Graciously forgive all the sins and shortcomings also of officiating in the last few weeks here. And yet we hope and pray that maybe to the glory of thy name and to the salvation of sinners and for the perseverance of thy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.